Thanks for there, Dan. We now look forward to hearing the words of encouragement, and for this, I'll call upon Brother Stephen Bennett to do so.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a pleasure it is to be together with you this morning. This morning, we have a great privilege. That privilege is to come together, albeit in a virtual way, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. To remember what he accomplished and how we are associated with that. It is difficult to actually visualize this because the Lord is not with us in a physical way. He is not sitting across the table from us. He is not sitting on the couch beside us. We can't grasp his hand, and we cannot experience the warmth of his smile or hear the words that he speaks. I don't think that there is anyone among us that would think for a moment that because we lack his physical presence, the reality of his existence is in question. We look to verses like these, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. John 20 and verse 29, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. 1 Peter 8, chapter 1 and verses 8 through 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. These verses are defining for our belief in faith. They focus our eyes on something that is far greater than anything we see in front of us physically. This is our hope and expectation. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ is a reality. He is alive. He is with his Father in heaven. He has promised us that he is with us. We know that we will see him as he is if we place our trust and hope in him. And the Apostle John makes that abundantly clear to us as he writes his first epistle, 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Throughout the ages, brothers and sisters have met together and celebrated this feast of remembrance in the same understanding and hope. They knew, like us, that although the Lord was not there physically, he was with them and knew what they were doing and thinking. He was with them just like he is with us this morning. This is important for us, particularly in our current context. We are physically separated as a community this morning, and this affects each one of us in different ways without question. We are not able to freely associate with our family in Christ in the way that we have been accustomed to. What we have grown used to in regard to our worship and fellowship has changed. It is different, and change is hard to cope with under most circumstances. This change that we are experiencing has with it a growing level of uncertainty because it has lasted for a significant period. This makes all of us question when we will be able to go back to what is normal to us. We are not alone in this. The whole world around us is in turmoil over this issue. What we can take comfort in is that we know that our Lord is with us regardless of the situation that we now face. We know that we are a part of the family of Christ. We can, through the technology that is available to us, join together to celebrate this feast. This is a blessing. There is a lot of uncertainty in the world at the moment for everyone. And the Lord's answer to this is in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 31 to 34, verses we know well. Therefore, Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all of them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In James chapter 4 and verses 13 to 15, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Our Lord is sure and unchanging. He's with us, and we are in his care. Our biggest task in these days before his return is to keep our eyes, hearts, and minds focused on him and to encourage our brothers and sisters regardless of the conditions. Individually, we work to strengthen our faith and serve as examples to our family in Christ, that we know that the Lord is with us because we place our trust and faith in him. There is no better way to do this than to remember him this morning in the way that he told us to. The Apostle Paul helps us to keep our minds focused on our Lord this morning in the reading that we did from Hebrews. Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 are a treasure trove of strength and encouragement for us. For this morning, as we prepare to remember our Lord in bread and wine, we're going to set our focus on just some of that treasure. Let's start at the beginning of chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 of Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, Paul says, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Paul begins with jogging his readers' thinking about how God has spoken to the Israelites, not just once, but in multiple times and multiple ways. This wasn't a casual and random act. It was intentional and purposeful. We are the beneficiaries of this because we have the record of this, and having associated ourselves with the Lord, we are the children of Abraham. God was and is speaking to us as well. This is such a comfort to us. God was speaking to Israel in the ancient past with the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ in mind. What he said to Israel in the past gave them hope and strength for what lay ahead of them. For us, it corroborates the truth of his word. What he said would happen did, not just once or twice, but every single time. Paul moves us in the next sentence to the Lord Jesus specifically. And he tells us that in his time, God spoke to Israel and to us through his Son. Jesus has spoken to us through the words recorded in the gospel. He speaks to us every day from these words. Those words speak to us about the fact that God had appointed our Lord Jesus Christ to be the heir of all things. In the Lord, we are now a new creation. God also made it clear that his Son, Jesus Christ, was radiance, the bright, shining representation of God's glory to us. Jesus was the exact imprint of the nature of God. The Lord was able to say, I and my Father are one because of this. The universe is upheld by the word of his power. This is also because God and his Son Jesus Christ are one. Jesus Christ does and speaks the same as we would hear from his God, his Father. This is utterly amazing considering how small we are. Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Our Lord died, and through that death we are provided with a way for the forgiveness of our sins. Listen to these verses and what they tell us. Acts chapter 2 and verses 36 to 38. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, his Father, and he will return to this earth as he has promised, and he will raise the dead who have died while they awaited his return. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Paul says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body, must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Carrying on in verses 56 through 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. But the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is incredible. It is almost too wonderful to comprehend. It is there for us to be part of. David says in Psalm 62 and verse 8, Trust in him at all times. People, O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And Isaiah 12 and 2, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ has inherited a more excellent nature than the angels. Paul explains this in wonderful detail for us. His superiority to the angels is without question. The overwhelming thing is that we are related to the Lord. He's not some distant cousin that is good to know because he's come into a fortune. Our Lord is, as Paul describes it in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, the founder of their salvation. This should give us all pause. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for us, no salvation, only death and destruction would await us. With him, there is so much more to hope for. There is salvation from death and destruction. More importantly, it is free. It is not for sale. It is not only for the rich and privileged. It is for all men and women. There is no danger of it running out or being in short supply. And it won't be backordered. There is no need to buy a subscription or constantly perform upgrades. What the Lord Jesus offers us is perfection from the beginning, and it doesn't need to get any better. There is nothing like it on earth today. No one else can offer anything close to it. Another amazing thing about this is that it is the result of God's love for us while we were still sinners. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 11. Romans 5 verses 6 through 11. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This was not the work of an angel. This was the work of God and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It showed their incredible love for us in making provision for us when we didn't deserve it, because we were sinners, and as Paul describes us, enemies of God. This is something that can help to keep us focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and God. It is comforting and encouraging to know that there is hope. Whatever the present can throw at us, nothing can negate the power of the love of God and Jesus Christ. They are not about to just get up and walk away from those that they are in the process of saving because they get tired of doing it or things are too tough. Nothing can separate us from God. His strength is unfathomable. His word is purposeful and powerful. What God says will happen does. There is no question as to whether our God will perform. Look at what Isaiah and Paul write. First of all, Isaiah in chapter 55 of Isaiah, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow, Isaiah 55 verses 10 through 11, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And Paul, in Romans 8 and verses 38 and 39, says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Great, powerful, loving, and concerned for those that call on their name. Look at what Paul says just a little later on in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The phrase that I want us to pick up from Paul here is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is very powerful. God is the one that said this, and we have record of him saying this to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. the people of Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy 31:6. David repeats it to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20. Paul has repeated it to us. This is really pretty staggering when you consider the company that we are in. God, through his Son, will never leave us, and that extends through life and death, as Paul told the Romans. To make it abundantly clear, Paul ends his thought with a combination of quotes from the Psalms for the final phrase of his argument in Hebrews 13, verse 6. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have nothing to fear. God is in control in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. We have to try and keep our eyes fixed on him by following the example of our Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:12. And then Romans chapter 8 and 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? For me, there is one more gem here in the first two chapters of Hebrews that I want to consider. It combines hope, comfort, encouragement, and adds a facet that we haven't talked about yet. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ and his role as a high priest, our high priest. There's a lot of ground to cover here, but we are only going to consider a small part of it. Jesus is our high priest, and Paul talks about this in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 through 18, where he says, Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 to 18, since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. There are eight statements that absolutely jump off the page for me in this text. And they are, the children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same. The second one, though through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death. Number three, deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Number four, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Number five, a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, made propitiation or atonement for the sins of the people. He himself, number seven, has suffered when tempted. And number eight, he is able to help those who are being tempted. You and I are the children that share in the same flesh and blood that the Lord Jesus Christ did. It was through the sharing of mortality, flesh and blood, that he could defeat the one that has the power of death. That is sin. By defeating death, he delivered us from lifelong slavery to sin and death. Angels could not do this. Only Jesus could. Angels are not like us. Only Jesus is. He saved us. We could not do it ourselves. He had to be like us, and because of that, he could become a merciful and faithful high priest to to God for us. He made propitiation or atonement for our sins. He didn't die instead of us as a substitute. He died so that through him we might have a way to be saved. He suffered when he was tempted. And because of that, he can help us when we are tempted. His experience was not merely academic. It was personal, practical, and real. This makes him understanding and responsive to what we experience because he experienced it as well. He is our help because he knows what we are made of. He understands our trials. This is such a strong Bible theme in the New Testament. It just keeps turning up over and over again because we need to read it, meditate on it, and glorify our God in heaven for it. Just listen to these verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 to 6. For God has done, Romans chapter 8, verse 2 to 6, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, where Paul says, Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And finally, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 21 through 23. Colossians 1, 21 and 23. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. The comfort for us is that he understands and he cares for us. He knows our anxiety, our fear, our trials, our sorrows, and our griefs. More than anything, though, is that through his death, he opened the way for us to be saved. We need Jesus more than anything. Through Jesus, we can have eternal life. This deserves our full and undivided attention. No pandemic, no natural disaster, no war, no tragedy, no illness of any kind. Absolutely nothing can separate us from him, except our unwillingness to place our trust and confidence in him. Every one of us can be comforted and encouraged to look up and look forward to Jesus, the captain of our salvation. We can stretch our hands out to him and he will lift us up, encourage, comfort us, and carry us when we are worried, anxious, tempted, in pain, and when we are overwhelmed in the sin that so easily besets us. He knows all about everything that plagues us and drags us down because he is a merciful and faithful high priest. He suffered when he was tempted, just like we do. That, brothers and sisters, is absolutely amazing. We need Jesus. We really need Jesus. There is a marvelous companion set of verses to Hebrews 2:14 to 18 that occurs in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. Listen to what it says. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Since then, we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, or as the NIV puts it, hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There are seven phrases that jump out for me here. First one is, we have a great high priest. Number two, it is Jesus, the Son of God. And number three, we need to hold fast to our confession, or firmly to the faith we profess. And number four, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And number five, because in every respect he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Number six, so with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. And number seven, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. As we prepare to participate in a meal of remembrance this morning, let us glorify our Father in heaven for giving us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that we will all hold dear to our hearts that Jesus Christ is our high priest, that all of us will work together to encourage and comfort one another in this amazing gift of love and help one another to hold firmly to the faith we profess. May we all remember that Jesus is very able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted as we are, but he did not sin. May we all be comforted, encouraged, and filled with joy as we approach the throne of grace. Brothers and sisters, as we eat this bread and drink this wine this morning, may we all meditate deeply on the enduring fact that we need Jesus. Thank you.